Have you received a lot of help this week? You know, our brother shared that, you know, the church is not a, it's not a police station to arrest people. It's not a law court to judge people, but it's a school to teach people. Have you received some healthy teaching this week? Okay, and he also said it's a hospital to heal people. Have you received some healing this week?
Amen.
Don't you feel like these words are just so healing?
Amen.
So supplying?
Amen.
You know, I've been coming to this training here in the East Coast, what, eight years, Vern? It's like 7, 8 years. Every time I come, I feel like I get the most help. So don't think the serving ones are not getting help. We get a lot of help. We love to be under this kind of speaking. And I just have a sensation, you know, all the ones speaking, don't you have this feeling that they really care about your being? They care about your eternal destiny, right? They care about your living. And don't you feel like, I always feel like this, they want the best for you, right? So for, I can just tell you, I'm not a, not a very mushy brother, but I love the brothers and sisters.
Amen.
I love the young people. And we care very much for the young people. And we care a lot about you today, but we have a lot of concern for, you know, for me, I have a lot of concern for where will you be 10 years from now? And where will you be 20 years from now? You know, it's like the enemy, Satan. You know what he has? One thing. What does he have? Time. That's all he has is time. And actually, you know what he likes to do with us? Steal our time. Waste our time. Right? So what we're going to do is we're going to read through a part of this outline. And what I'm going to share is a little bit related to how we can redeem our time. But it's really related to this matter of the home, so it's very connected. So how about we read, let's all read Roman numeral 1 together. Let's read the title together, then Roman numeral 1 together. And then how about sisters on A, brothers on B, and sisters on C? Go ahead.
Coordinating.
Amen. So, did you ever have the thought, you know, we've been talking a lot about preaching the gospel on the campus, speaking to people. You, maybe a lot of you have, you're on your campus and you're trying to carry out a campus work there. But you have to realize that is not for the campus. That is not just to make your campus a better place. And that's just not to take care of persons for 4 years on the campus and then they graduate and they're gone. Actually, you have to have a larger view. You have to have God's view. And actually, you're there on that campus to gain materials for God's building. You know God has a building. That's what he's concerned with. But what he needs for that building is materials. But actually, what we've been seeing is like he needs the proper materials. He can't just use any materials. It's actually the proper materials. Actually, you know, we'll probably touch on something here about freshmen, but it's like, do you know why we go to freshmen? Specifically? Why do you think we go to freshmen? They're what? Open. What else? What is it? Unoccupied. What else? Accessible. What else? Huh? They're young. What else? Anything else? Time. They're there for 4 years. Let me give you one. They're less damaged. How about that? It's like as time goes on, it doesn't take very long in college. Actually, it takes like one less than a semester before that university system begins to work on these persons to damage their humanity. So, because we love you, we like to give you words of warning. So, let me read you a verse. This is from Amos 6:1. It says, "Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who are secure in the mountain of Samaria." And so this word, this is woe, this is a warning. And this word here, at ease, or secure. So are you living, why are you going to college? Is it to be at ease? Is it to be secure? Is it for your security? Think about it. It's like probably a lot of us. We want to get a good job, make a lot of money, have a nice house, nice cars. That's the American dream. But woe, be careful. Woe to you. We should be a different race of persons on this earth. We should be God's race. And we should have a different way of thinking and a different view concerning why we're on the campus. Even, I like this message about the homes, even how we have our daily living. Let me read you this quote. "We must go to get people saved. We must, quote, get married in order to bring forth children. After bringing forth children, we need to feed, nourish, and cherish our babes. Then we must perfect them and build them up to speak the word of Christ, to speak Christ, and to speak forth Christ to others, that is, to prophesy. If we have such a practice according to the New Testament teaching, no one among us will be idle. However, I am concerned that many of the saints are idle. We may not realize the seriousness of our situation, but one day we will. The Lord said, 'Do business until I come.' If the Lord would return today and ask us to settle our account with him, we all would be very serious. The Lord is coming, and we will have to meet him and give an account to him. However, today many of the saints are at peace. The new way is a troubling way, not a peacemaking way. We must realize that the new way does not give us rest. Rather, it causes us to be busy." So, woe. I don't want to scare you, but I really am concerned with your future in God's economy. And I'm so happy that so many of you are here this week. And I hope all of you are here 10 years from now. And not in an idle way. And not in a way that's at ease. I hope 10 years from now you're very busy with God's business, with God's enterprise, with fruit bearing. You know, these lines all really go, you know, this night line is the humanity of Jesus. That's kind of vision. But actually all these morning lines, it's practice. It's like, how do you carry out the vision? Well, it's like you need a daily time with the Lord. Right? You need to take care of this cycle of life. That's practice. That becomes very practical to us. And then you need to be one who preaches the gospel. But where does this happen? It should happen in your home. And actually, it should happen in the homes of the ones you're going to. Let me read you these verses. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts 8. Actually, we talked about Stephen yesterday. That's in Acts 7, right? And it says, at the end of Acts 7, it says, they laid their garments at the feet, I don't know if you caught this yesterday, of a young man named Saul. The people who were stoning him. Okay, so do you know who Saul is? Saul is Paul. And what did Paul write? Most of the New Testament. Okay, so this is the young man Saul. So let's read about a little bit about Saul. How about brothers on one, sisters on two, and all together on three. Go ahead.
"And Saul approved of his killing, and there occurred in that day a great persecution
Go ahead, sisters. Go ahead, brothers. Or all together. So, Saul, right? Paul, before he was Paul, Saul was devastating. Another version says ravaging. Meaning he was trying to destroy the church. And where did he do it? In the house. It doesn't say he went to the synagogue. He didn't go to the temple. Brothers and sisters, I hope you get this. Is Satan's strategy is not to attack you so much here. You know when Satan's going to attack you? When you get home. When you're in that, your home is where your daily life is carried out. And so Satan, the way he attacks the saints in the churches is not in the big meetings, usually. It doesn't mean he can attack, but it's harder for him to attack there. But what does he do? He waits till you get home from the meeting and you sit down in front of your computer and you're all alone and you start clicking and looking and clicking and looking, right? I mean, is this our experience? Right? This is my experience. I don't get attacked so much in the meetings. It's in the homes. So I have this burden to share with you. You know, there's this verse in 1 Timothy. It says, practice these things, be in them, that your progress may be manifested to all. So brothers and sisters, I'd like to encourage you, practice these things. After this training, practice these things. Be in them, that your progress may be manifested to all. You know, in order to practice these things, you need to schedule these things. If you don't schedule them, guess what? They won't happen. If you don't schedule a time with the Lord in the morning, it won't happen. If you don't schedule a time to read your Bible, it probably won't happen. If you don't schedule a time to read something from the ministry, it won't happen. You don't schedule a time for your companions, right? These are all the things we've been talking about this week. It won't happen. If you don't schedule a time to pray later on in the day, it won't happen. And even this matter of our homes. If we don't schedule a time to be in the saints of the homes, to have the saints in our home, guess what? You know why? Because Satan's attack is on the homes. So right now, as a college student, I know you're busy, but you're not that busy yet with human life. I have a 2-month-old baby. We just had another baby. This is my third child. So I have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 2-month-old. And we get really busy. You know, and it's just, as life progresses, you know, you get married, you have children, a home, lawn, yeah. I live downtown, so my lawn's not that big. But all these things, they're not evil things, and they're not sinful things, but guess what? If you don't handle them properly, they'll steal your time. And you'll be 30, 40 years old in the church life, and you'll come to all the meetings, and Satan will come in through your home and attack your home. Because most of your living, and I'm going to show you, most of your living is not in the church meetings. We talk about church life. You know what that means? It's like the living of the church. Who's the church? Who's the church?
We are.
Okay. So the church life is the life of the church. It's the living of the church. So, okay, I'm going to go through. Let me read you this verse and footnote. This is Ephesians 5:16. And you probably all know this. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Let me read you this short footnote. In this evil age, every day is an evil day full of pernicious things that cause our time to be used ineffectively, to be reduced, and to be taken away. Therefore, we must walk wisely that we may redeem the time, seizing every available opportunity. So I want to show you how much available opportunity you have. So how many hours in a day? Okay, how many days in a week? Okay, so this is one. I'm going to write a number up here. What is that? Hours in a week, right? So you have 168 hours in a week. Okay, so let me write another number here. What did I put for that? Yeah. How about this? I'm kind of being generous with these numbers. 45, what do you think that is? Sleeping? No, that's not sleeping. Working. That's a work week. And that's... this is a training, so let me share something with you now. And this was shared at another training, so I'm going to share it. A brother once shared at a training. He said, if you work more than 40 hours a week, you are usurped. Okay, so I just want to put that, let that linger when you're looking for a job and a career. Consider that. You know what that means? Is that anything over 40 hours, now the enemy is stealing your time. That time doesn't belong to him. That belongs to God. But 45, I put in travel time, whatever. So, and you know what the Genesis says about work? What is work? A curse? Okay. Do you know what the life study of Genesis says that work is? A what? Say it loud if you know the answer.
Protection.
Okay. If you didn't have to work, and by work I mean school, studying, you should consider your school and your studying a full-time, that's your full-time job. So this is I have bad writing. Protection. Because if you were not working those 45 hours a week, guess what you would be doing?
Something else.
Probably sinning. Right? Actually, when people don't work, you look at human society, what do? They sin. Okay, let me write another number up here. 56, what is that? Sleep. Okay, what do you think about... Okay, that's 8 hours a night, 7 days a week. That's 56, right? Okay, so I know there's all these arguments that you need more sleep. I just read an article, it said... You know, I've heard numbers, 7 to 9 hours of sleep, right? I just read an article that said, actually I knew a brother that he worked for the Guinness Book of World Records studying the world's oldest people. And I was talking to him one day and I was like, what characterizes the world's oldest? There's people over 100 years old. He would go and research them and make sure they were that age. He said, well, first of all, they're not tall. So that kind of, I was like, I don't know why he said that first, but... Second thing he says is they all had a normal sleep cycle. And I just read this article, and you know, I've heard different studies, but it says they did a 6-year study on sleep cycles and mortality rates. And they said people who slept 7 hours a night lived the longest. And they said, actually, you would think people who slept less would live less. But it said, actually, people who slept longer had the highest mortality rates. Why do you think that is? Yeah. Circulation. Oxygen. Remember we talked about when sitting is worse than smoking? Well, sleeping is worse than smoking. Okay. Do you get it? It's like, actually, and I've read studies that say there's no proven benefit to over 8 hours of sleep. So it's like, well, you got to think about it. It's, you know, I know people are different ages, or you get sick, or you stayed up a number of nights. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your normal sleep cycle. Normal life.
Yeah.
Right? We want to be balanced. So I'm just trying to give you a balance. So it's like to sleep, I'm giving you 8 hours a night, 7 days a week. And what is this? What in the life study of Genesis?
Protection.
So your sleep and your work, that's a protection to you. Okay, let me give you one more number. Okay. Let's see. So basically, how many hours is this? It's like one... What is it? 101. And minus 168, what is that? 67, right? So you have 67 hours, right? Okay. Okay, in your schedule, and it was mentioned in this outline, what should be in your schedule? Regularly attending what? Okay, what are the meetings of the church? Okay, prayer meeting? What? How long is that? Okay, prophesying meeting? Lord's Day meeting? Okay, so how many hours a week is that? Okay, it's not a lot. This is what I wanted to impress you with. It's like, how many hours? So it's Mike, minus three for meetings. How much time do you have left? 64. I basically broke it down. You have 60 hours. Just say you go to the ministry meeting or you got to drive to the meetings or something. So you have 60 hours. So this is protected, right? Right? Wouldn't you say that when you go to the meetings, there's some protection there? Satan has a hard time getting at you, right? You have 60 hours in the week where you're awake and you're what? You're susceptible. Unprotected. Brothers and sisters, we need to guard this time. And you know, you could take away time to eat. I need to bathe. I hope you bathe. I hope you eat. You know, shopping, errands, laundry, spending some time with your family. You know, hopefully when you eat, you spend some time with your family. So what? You maybe take away 15 more hours? But now you still have 45 hours in your week that are unprotected. And that's after you've done your studying and everything. Brothers and sisters, we need to schedule this time. Practice these things. Be in them. And you know, the enemy's attack... You know where a lot of this happens? At home. In our houses. You know, if you read the newspapers, it's just about American society. It's terrible. What happens in the homes? Actually, you may know some your friends, family members, and you may know about their home situation. Doesn't it just break your heart? You know? Actually, I came into the church life through a home, and we grew up kind of in a broken home, and I had two friends that also grew up in a broken home. So we were all raised by our dads. That's what we had in common, not by our moms. And so, but one of them was a brother in the church life. And the first thing he did was bring me into a home, a normal home. It wasn't anything special. It was just two people that were married that loved each other and loved the Lord. And to me, when you don't have that, so sweet. How many of you are regularly in a home? At least once a week, you're in a home. That's good. How many of you are in a home twice a week? Three times a week. Okay. How many of you regularly are in... visit somebody in their home once a week? See, yeah. Twice a week. Yeah, this isn't our habit so much. You know, but it's like, this is Paul, right? He had people in his home at the end of Acts, in his own rented dwelling, and he visited the homes of others. But it's like, if we don't schedule this time in our homes, what happens? It's idle time. It's time at ease. It's time when you're complacent. So it's like, we need to consider, what should you schedule? Well, just think about this week. What should we schedule? Reading the Word. Okay, a brother gave us how many chapters? There was a number mentioned, right? Yeah, well, this week it was mentioned three chapters, right? I think Brother Ted mentioned that. Okay, I put 1 to 3 chapters. If you're not reading any chapters, start with 1. If you're reading, you know, just read the Bible. 1 to 3 chapters, how long do you think that takes you to read? Okay, I allocated 30 minutes. Some people read slower, right? Some people don't like to read. What about morning time? Right? That's what we have a whole line on that. How much time should you spend with the Lord in the morning? How much? Okay. You know a good place to start is? 10 minutes is good. But actually, Brother Lee said, if you can't do 10 minutes, start with 2 minutes. And I don't want to see the show of hands, but just consider this question. It's like, how many of us don't have a time with the Lord? We need to schedule that. You know, on my phone, you know, these things can be very dangerous, right? They can steal a lot of your time. Even though your Bible's on there, there's like 900 other things on there that can steal your time. What I've learned is like one thing that really helps me is I'm using the alarms. So I have an awake sleeper alarm. Right. But you know what other alarm I have that helps me a lot? A go to bed with an exclamation mark alarm. Do you have an alarm to go to bed? I have an alarm for pray with my wife. I have an alarm for all the church meetings. I have an alarm for read the Bible. I have it at the end of the day to make sure before my go-to-bed alarm goes off, that I've read the Bible today. You know? But it's like, it's all these things need to, they help me a lot because even if I didn't do it, there's the alarm. And I have to actively turn that thing off. So anyways, kind of my point is here, is like, if we don't learn to schedule our time, the enemy will steal our time. And let's go ahead and read Roman numeral 2 together.
We need to connect the new ones to the homes of the saints to enter the church life. The homes of the saints are their stepping stone into the church life.
Okay, how about brothers on A and sisters on B?
The book of Acts records that the early saints had the church life in their homes and that the apostles preached the gospel from house to house.
Amen. So even related to this matter, so we have Bible reading, morning revival. What else should we schedule?
Prayer.
The prayer time, right? What's a good time for prayer? 30 minutes a day? Well, why don't you, how about we start with, if you don't pray at all, how about you start with like 5 minutes? But you think about it, that's what, 35 minutes a week, right? But we still, even when you schedule all these things, guess what? I mean, even if you keep adding them all, you still have a lot of time left. And this is my testimony for me and my wife. It's like, well, we do have a lot of idle time. And it's easily stolen. And it's wasted on things like this. Computer, other things. It doesn't even have to be sinful things. It's just other things. But our experience has been that our home is somewhat open, so people can come to our home, and sometimes they come to pray, they come to fellowship, they just come and eat a meal with us, they bring their friends over, you know, and sometimes we go out to visit people. But it's like that has become our salvation. So actually the saints being in our home, that's our salvation. Right? It's like when the saints are in my home, there's just certain things I won't watch. And there's certain things I won't do. And there's certain things I won't listen to. It's not because we're superheroes. It's actually because the saints are in our home so much that we're either too tired or we just don't have the time. it's bedtime when they leave. You know, so it's like, well, saints, the church life in Acts, because they were so desperate, when did they have the church in their home? How many days a week? Every day. You know the verse? How about we read that? Acts 2, 46 and 47. And I'm going to end here. Go ahead. How about all together? Yeah, so I never really paid attention to this, but it's like day by day, house to house, and having grace with all the people. It means they had people in their homes. And that's how they found favor with all the people. Actually, that verse in Acts, we read about the Paul persecuting the church. It says, the next verse, I don't know, we read it at 8:4, it says, and what should have they have done? Lock their doors? Hide? You know, Paul's coming, Saul's coming. You know what they did? It says they preached the gospel in the whole land. You know what we need? We need to get our homes open. We need to get into the homes of the saints. And we need to preach the gospel. And this is how we deal with God's enemy. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, it's so good to be here. Wow, it's been a while. I've been here several times bringing a bunch of college students, blending from, I think, Texas or UCLA. I don't remember which place. But it's awesome to be here. This matter of the homes, isn't this tremendous? And the use of our time. What I'd like to do is just make a few comments on what's already been presented, and then we'll just go on the outline from there. But I'd like to go back to the beginning where you have this matter of the purpose of our labor. What is the purpose of our labor? It's to bring wood and build the house. You know, we're here on this earth with a particular purpose. The Lord made us as a vessel in His image, after His likeness, and He has the intention that we would be filled with Him, but also that this life would multiply. And in John 15, you know, He chose us and He set us to go forth and bear fruit. So our destiny is what?
Bear fruit.
We're all fruit bearers. This is, He chose us and He set us to go and bear fruit. So this is our destiny. We need fruit for the vine. We need wood for the house. We need members for the body of Christ. He needs to be enlarged. His expression is not great enough, right? On all your campuses, don't you want something more of Christ expressed? You know, we need stones for God's building. Anyway, we're here to multiply that life that we have in us. And I am so impressed that the homes are our secret weapon. Do you believe that? The homes are incredible. House to house. Listen, in Acts, that was a new invention. The houses. The use of the houses. Otherwise, before that, it was all something big in the temple. But now, all of a sudden, the Lord has moved. The Spirit's come with a new invention. It's house to house. It's in the homes. And, of course, I appreciate everybody, you know, that raised their hands about being in the homes. That's tremendous. So, it's not like I have to say a whole lot. But I hope you would just appreciate how precious the homes are. But before I get to that, I'd like to go back to a couple of points here. Under A, it says God's eternal purpose is to have the church, right? And what is God's eternal purpose? Have the church. And then for the Lord to have the church, what does He need? He needs all of us to minister Christ. What is our need? Minister Christ. Tell your neighbor, minister Christ. This is what we need to be doing for the building up of the church. We minister Christ. This is the one we love, and this is what we need to give one another, right? We minister Christ. And then one thing that's mentioned here, we should regularly attend and function. Did you hear that? Attend and what?
Function.
Tell your neighbor, function.
Function.
Okay. The table meetings. I would just encourage you all, we need to function in the table meetings. I hope you all would realize the table meetings are not for the old people to come pray and praise. And all the young people just sit there and just, you know, go to sleep. And amen all the old people. No. We need a revolution in the table meetings. We need the younger ones to rise up to praise the Lord. To thank the Lord. To give thanks. Do something simple. Do something crazy. It doesn't matter. Just function. Don't just sit there. That is not a satisfaction to the Lord. So, in the table meetings, function. What do you do there? At least, aren't you thankful for something? Stephen, right? What are you thankful for? Is there anything you're thankful for? Are you thankful you're here this week? Well, at the table meeting, you need to at least, Lord, thank you for the college training. We gained so much of you. Something simple and short. Doesn't have to be some long exposition of praise. Same thing in the prayer meeting. In the prayer meeting, do you need a lot of long prayers? Don't do that. Don't pray like the old ones. Actually, this is in the books. Brother Lee said, don't do that. Don't pray like the professional ones in the church life. Pray short prayers. And let me give you a little tip. The easiest thing to do to learn to pray in the prayer meeting is to repeat somebody else what they prayed. I don't know what to pray. Well, if Matthew prays one line, a couple lines, and the last line was, wow, that was good. Repeat it. You didn't have to come up with anything original. Just repeat what stirred you. You heard a prayer and, you know, Vern prayed something. He may have prayed three or four lines, and then there was this one line that was so good. Well, just repeat it and maybe add one more thing to it. And then shut up. It's okay. Just function, you know. The prophesying meeting. Don't let the same ones prophesy every week. Function. I don't know about you, but I did not come the way of the church life to sit back and watch it go by. Do you like to go to a basketball game and just sit there and watch? Don't you want to be in the game? Or any kind of game? I can't stand to just watch. If I go to a basketball game, I scream and holler. If I'm not in the game, I'm on the sidelines. One time I was at a high school game, and David Gideon was on the team, and he wasn't a starter, but they put him in quite a bit. And we'd go and watch the games, and I'd sit there behind the coach, behind him. He can't see me. I'm just in the crowd. And if he's not in the game, at the very least, I'm hollering, "Where's Gideon?" I really did that. You know, there's a little bit of noise, and in the middle of all the noise, I'd, "Gideon!" And he'd be, next thing you know, he's, "Gideon, get on in there." Amen. We've got to do something in the meetings. Don't be idle. Give yourself to function. It's so much more enjoyable. Don't let the church life go on by just as an observer. There's one problem. There's several things that are a danger if you just do that. Number one, for example, you know, you'll see someone share Julian sharing, and you'll think, oh, I know how to do that. Yeah, he did a good job. Yeah, I can do that too. Then Jordan stands up and it's like, oh, I don't know about Jordan. That was a little, I don't know, not much spirit. Next thing you know, you're criticizing everybody, analyzing, just like a, you know, a, what do you call it, a quarterback, back Monday morning quarterback, whatever, you're analyzing everybody. Is that how you want to go spend the rest of your life, going to the meeting, just analyze everybody, criticize everybody? Jump in the game. Get in the game. I just am so burdened in the church life. Wherever you are, attend the meetings and function. It's so much more enjoyable. Oh, I've got to tell you, Brother Lee said this one time, and I really like this. He said, when you speak, you shouldn't speak unless you have the assurance you're in the Spirit. And he was strong about it. Paul was always demonstrating Spirit, he's in the Spirit. Then he stopped and he said, on the other hand, you need to speak anyway. And here's why. He says, because when you speak, you find out where you are. And you'll find out, oh, I'm so short. And then you'll go to the Lord, Lord, I need more of you. Lord, I've got to gain you. I have to have more of you. Isn't that good? But he says, if you don't speak, just like what I said, he says, you become one who just criticizes, analyzes everybody else. Oh, I can do that. I did it 5 years ago. No, you don't know anything. You learn by making mistakes. You learn by speaking. You learn by doing. Amen? Right, Travis? Amen. Practice. Practice. Okay, so that was just a little burden there. Okay, then we need to connect the new ones to the homes of the saints to enter the church life. The homes of the saints are their stepping stone into the church life. You know, I saw a little clip of my son-in-law recently. This is Brian Watts. He married my daughter, and Brian was doing something that kind of struck me when I read this. And that is he was running and hitting a trampoline and then dunking a basketball. You know? You know what I'm talking about? The best way to dunk a basketball is on a trampoline. Matthew, can you dunk a basketball? You could with a trampoline. We just need a trampoline. You know, when I was young, when I was a teenager, I really wanted to dunk. Yeah, I really wanted to dunk. And I practiced and practiced. And believe it or not, I got to where I could dunk. I know y'all are just like, no way. You know, my height was 5'11 and 3/4. I couldn't even get to 6 foot, you know. But my wingspan is 6'4". So I got long arms. That helps a little bit. And of course, when I measured myself and I saw that I was 6'4" this way, which should be what your height is, unless you didn't know that, right? Well, this should be your height. Well, I thought, well, I'm going to be 6'4". I got to get ready. You know what I mean? I start jumping. But then I just stayed right there, 5'11". And I realized I'm not growing anymore. It stopped. That was really sad. But I started practicing. I just practiced. I practice jumping every day, every day, every day. Higher, higher, higher. And I got to the point where I could do it. Do you believe that, Matthew? Well, the point is, there's a stepping stone for the church life. That's the homes. That's the real trampoline. That's the real slam dunk of new ones into the church life. The church, the homes are too precious, too precious. I mean, just getting to this, the word homes. Could you all say that? Homes. Real slow. Homes. Just tell your neighbor, homes. Are you picking up the sense? You know. Listen, I was reading this morning. It was just so sweet. This is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. And this is related to Matthew, who was sitting at the tax office, and the Lord told him to come. And it says this, Matthew 9, 10. And as he was reclining at table in the house. There's not even an amen? Come on. As he was what? Reclining at table in the house. Hallelujah. Now tell your neighbor, house. Amen. Isn't that sweet? Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and reclined together with Jesus. Many sinners, they just came and reclined together with Jesus. I don't even know how to present it. You know, I hope you have some visual thought that's so sweet, reclining at table in the house together with what? Jesus. The Lord loves the homes. What was He doing? You go back and look at all the instances where the Lord was in the homes. I mean, look at Zacchaeus. You know, he says, get out of that tree. I know you're short and you can't see me, but come on down. I need to stay at your house. What do you think, Zacchaeus? Woo! And the Lord, and think about which house the Lord chose. He chose, you know, Brother Reed referred to the tax collectors as the gamblers. You know, the kind of the mafia of that day. You know, they would take more than they should from everybody. Everybody hated them. But anyway, Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector, but not just a tax collector. He was what? Chief tax collector. Who is that? That's the boss. Come on. He goes, here he is. He's the boss. This is the chief tax collector. But it also says this, and he was rich. Okay. Then the Lord says, I need to stay at your house. Anyway, he got a good house to go to. I think there's plenty of food and all the sinners could come and he had plenty to take care of everybody. Anyway, the Lord knows what he's doing. So, anyway, the homes, it's so precious. This is a new invention. And then you have the realization, saints, I know I'm not, I don't need to repeat this, but students need homes. And C says this. I mean, I'm enjoying it right now. You know, I'm at Harvard and MIT. I live right there by Harvard in Cambridge. And there's a Harvard student comes over. He just wants to come. And he brings his friends. He brings new ones. And he had one that's just a total unbeliever. And he's a Harvard grad student, and he meets a MIT grad student, and what does he do? Just invite him to my house. And it just so happened that MIT student was an unbeliever, and the unbeliever had some questions. So what does he do? Bring him to Ken's house. Really easy. He doesn't have to do anything. Just bring him to my house. We've been meeting with him. It's awesome. I'll tell you more later. It's such a comfortable, sweet place to bring people. Don't you like being in the homes?
Amen.
You know, find that comfortable place, you know, where you feel comfortable bring others. Then in point three, let's all read point three together. There are many lonely and homesick college freshmen, and we must take this opportunity to fill up the gap in their hearts with Christ by opening our homes. You know, some of the ones out there, they come from broken homes. You know, like we just heard. What do you do when they come from a background where it's sad? You know what? When they come into a proper home, it's like they've never seen anything like it. It's like this is what I wish I had all my life. You know, it's so precious. Then point D. Well, first of all, let me mention. I've got to present this. Okay, in John 1, I hope you would remember this. In John 1, you have a situation that was tremendous. It tells you something about what happens in the homes, how amazing they are, and I bet all of you have read John 1 100 times. Don't you do that with all your new ones or with your friends or? You have appointments with full-timers or whatever. Don't you get into John? Have you been into John, Joey?
Yes.
Okay. What's in John 1? What's the verse?
The word.
Okay, very good. Now then, here's another one. And this is where they were, you know, John the Baptist comes on the scene and, you know, he says, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak this, and they followed him. They followed Jesus. Then listen to what happens. This is tremendous. And Jesus turning and beholding them, following said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" Where are you staying? Interesting. They asked Jesus, "Where are you staying?" Now look at his response. You're probably familiar with this. He said to them, "Come and you will see." Let's all say that. Come and you will see. Not just see, but see. See. He said to them, "Come and you'll see." They went therefore and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day. They stayed with him that day. They got, how would you like to go spend the day with Jesus? This is no walk in the park. This is staying with Jesus. Okay? They stayed with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. I think that's like 10 in the morning. So they just had the whole day with him. Now, what do you think the issue is? One of the two who heard this from John and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So what does he do? He finds his own brother, Simon, and says to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. Do you get my drift? What did they go? What did they see before they went to the home? Teacher. Rabbi. You remember he said, said to him, Rabbi. They called him Rabbi, teacher. Then they get into his home and they stay with him. And what happens when they come out of the house? It's, we found the Christ, the Messiah. They got revelation. So they really did what? They came into a home and they went away seeing. What did the Lord tell him? Come and you will see. What did they see? They got a revelation of who he was. Now what happened there? I don't know. It's the same that happens in the homes. Isn't that experience of a lot of the new ones you're taking care of? Oh my goodness, I'm running out of time. Okay. Okay, D. Altogether, saints of all ages in each locality can participate and coordinate together for the gospel work on the college campuses. You know, here, there's this portion in Acts 12. You have Simon the leper, no, in John 12, where you have the house in Bethany. You have all kinds of people. And who do you have in Bethany? Bethany's house. First of all, it's not Bethany's house. It's the house of Simon the leper. So you have a leper. You have a sinner there. You also have what? You have Lazarus. He had been, you know, he was dead, he was resurrected. You have Martha there serving. You have Mary there pouring out her love on the Lord. You have the Lord Jesus himself. And you have Judas, a complainer, right? But anyway, you have all kinds of people there at this home meeting, this home. What is that? That shows us that in the homes, that's a little miniature of the church life. You have all ages, all stages. And I hope in the homes that you're with, that you would get yourself connected and you'd get others connected to a home where you're in a coordination with people. You're in a coordination with the families. You're in coordination with some full-timers possibly, in coordination with other students. You may be at a place where you don't even have full-timers. That's okay. Get yourself connected to a home and get in a coordination with them where you pray and you take care of each other. You know, I've just had so many sweet experiences in the homes at UCLA. I was at UCLA before I moved to Boston, the Boston area. I just moved there this last year at the beginning of the school year. But I was in UCLA for 7 years before that. And at UCLA, it was so precious to see the development of what can happen in a home and in the homes. I just give you a little experience. You know, when we first got together, this is over, I'm breaking it down to certain periods of time. We were there, and there's a variety of people there in our home. We had the old people, Kathy and myself. Then we had a young couple who was working, and he's a scientist, she's a professional. They're married, and then you have an older, at least two older working sisters, not older, I mean just, you know, young professional sisters. They're single, they're working. Then you have some grad students, you have some working brothers, you have a good number of students, and we didn't have any kids running around, but you have quite a variety. Well, what was so awesome to me is to see as time goes on, the more you get blended, the more you get together, not just on a Friday night. I'm not talking about a Friday night home meeting. I'm talking about other times where we get together, we eat around the dinner table like a family, and we fellowship about what's going on with each other. What happened today? You check with the guys, check with the girls. What happened on the job? What happened here and there? And you get to know each other. You find out what's going on in each other's life every week. This is every week after week, month after month. You're in the lives of one another. And then you start praying for one another. There's something that happens. It's awesome. It's very powerful. It's our secret weapon. It's a home full of a sweet coordination with all ages. And the issue is, there's a lot of issues. Of course, here on the outline, you see the matter of the gospel. But you also see something. This is a little side point, but I can't believe there'd be these ones that would come in the door, and even the college students, these are young college students, they see someone come in the door, one of the saints, like for example, Rebecca. She'd come in the door, and she's an older sister, and they all say, "Rebecca, yay." You know, here comes Janice. "Janice, yay." You know, "Simpson, come on in." "Oh, Brother Simpson's here. Hey, everybody. Can you believe that?" What would you think, Matthew, if someone said that when you came in the door at a home? Yeah, how would you feel? Isn't that awesome? That comes as a result of blending, spending time with each other. There was another time we were a group of there in L.A., and it was rough at first. I checked with Dick Taylor, "Where do you want us to spend our time? What home?" We got into a home, and that home was very eclectic. They had dogs. That was big dogs that would be there getting junk all over you while you're trying to share or sing. And then there's drums going on. Somebody's on the drums upstairs and someone's playing pool in another room and you hear the noise. People just come and go, and you couldn't do anything. And I thought, why am I here, Brother Dick? What have you done? But after a period of time, blending, spending time in a sweet coordination. It all started with one time when the brother, when we were together, he asked, "Saints, could we pray for my wife's ankles? She's pregnant and her ankles are swelling." Now for me, that was a shock. I've never prayed for a sister's ankles. I never expected to, and I didn't want to at that moment either. It's like, pray for a sister's ankles. It's like something in me was just screaming, "No! What is going on? Now what do I do?" Guess what? I prayed for ankles. A sister's ankles. It was amazing. And then someone else, this is a little later. You know, that kind of opened the door. Someone prayed, or asked that we pray for her to stay on the diet for 3 weeks. If she stayed on it for 3 weeks, she'd be able to stay on it and she'd lose 50 pounds. Again, I pray for God's economy, not for sisters' diets. You know what I mean? It's just like, no. But again, you just pray. You just drop your concept, take the salt and pray. You just get blended. There's something that's happening there. There's something sweet going on. And eventually became so precious. I can't describe how sweet the coordination. In that kind of a sweet coordination, that kind of a home where everyone there is what? They really got something vital going on where there's what? There's life as the nature of the group. There's love as a condition of the group. And we had the goal of what? We want fruit. So any fruit comes in the door, we just love them, smother them with love. So you just think about it. A new one coming in that environment where everyone there, you just consider all these brothers on the front row. What if you guys are all loving each other? Just look at each other. Oh, we love the brothers. Come on, y'all say it. We love
the brothers.
Okay, we love the brothers. One more time.
Zach
is a new one coming in, and he sees this. Is that attractive? It is attractive, absolutely. Where they're loving one another, right? And not only that, they're not. It's just not some mushy love. They're full of life.
Amen.
Matthew says, "Praise the Lord," and Stephen says, "Amen." Jesus is Lord, and they start giving Christ to one another. What do you think about that, Zach? And then what else? What happens? You come in the door and you're a new one, and they all just, Zach, Zach. Oh, you know, what are you going to do in that situation? It's too beautiful. It's a sweet coordination in the homes. That is a stepping stone into the church life. Get yourself immersed with others in the homes until this something like this happens. I'll tell you one more thing that happened real quick, and that is, after a period of time, some of you have heard this because I have a class in the full-time training. I was with Albert on the God Ordained Way class. So some of you, sorry, you've heard some of these stories before. But eventually, one of the brothers, he says, I'm on the layoff list. This is the scientist. And we said, oh no. You know, so we started praying. And he's off the layoff list. Can you believe that? This is at a big company, you know, awesome. He's off the layoff list. Then someone else, my contract is ending. I need it to be extended. We prayed, extended. Then someone else, I need to be with the students in a freshman job on the campus during the summer. Got it. Amen. One sister prayed, asked, my dad has not been able to find work. I worry about it all the time. My mom is so stressed. We pray. Guess what happens to dad? He gets a job. Boom. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Then one trainee came up to me after class. He says, my sister in Atlanta has not been able to find work for 5 weeks or months or something. And guess what? I went back to the group. I said, somebody in the training wants us to pray for her sister back in Atlanta. So we prayed. I came back to class the next week. Guess what? Sister came. My sister got a job. Anyway, it was the human resource department, right? For the church there. We were just getting jobs for everybody. You know? But you know what? The reason that was happening is not because we're anything. We're nothing. The only thing we gave ourselves to was to get ourselves coordinated together in prayer, be willing to open, be willing to take care of one another, be full of life, be full of love, and care for fruit. So any of the new ones, they would bring their new ones into this. What do you think is going to happen? They are attracted. They love this environment. Okay, let's finish this real quick. Let me just read this to you real quick. We need the younger saints to go to the campuses, the older saints to open their homes, and the middle-aged saints serving the new ones in the living rooms. Amen. Two, if the saints in every locality are well coordinated, the new ones will be inspired with what they see. They will see the real social life, communal life, and family life. And three, our service in coordination with will touch, soften, and warm up their hearts to receive the living, piercing word. One other little story. It was so attractive in the homes. This one guy came in. He's a Russian. No, he's not Russian. He loved Russian philosophy. He comes in, and he's never seen anything like this. And he told me one time, and he would just come again. We didn't push ourselves. We didn't push the gospel on him, get him to do something. Just let him get infused what would happen? He'd just get loved a lot. And he saw joy and oneness, and he just said, I've never seen anything like this. I can't figure this out. But he would keep coming. And he'd sing, but he wasn't saved. And so he was singing one day, and we're singing this song, More of my heart, dear Lord, I give you now. Da 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 da. Anyway, one of the lines was this. It says, lest we would argue, Lord, and go our way. More we would say amen to what you say. So anyway, we sang that song, and I noticed his expression changed. And after it was over, he said, can we sing this again? So we sang it again. And the next thing I know is there's tears starting to come down. Then we sang it two times. That's a long time. That's a lot. And then he said, can we sing it one more time? We sang it three times. More. But by the time he stood, these tears are coming down. And then he just spoke. He says, I've been arguing. And the Lord just touched me. I need to stop my arguing and say amen,
amen
to what he says. And he just got saved in the song. But it was the atmosphere. It's that kind of home environment where there's love and peace and joy and care. We need lots of experiences like that, don't you think? Roman, do you want some of that?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. Then four, let's all read this together. I really like this one. The saints' living room should be filled with the enjoyment of Christ, especially through singing and psalming. Such as atmosphere of enjoyment and mutuality requires a great deal of coordination. Again, this matter of singing, I hope all of you would never be satisfied with a gathering in a home that is not full of the enjoyment of Christ. Don't be satisfied. You have to do something to bring in the enjoyment of Christ, something rich of Christ. If you have to stand on your hands, okay, everybody stand on your hands and let's sing. Do whatever you have to do. Let's march around the room. One brother did that. You know, I was suggesting some things and then he remembered it about a few months later. Okay, let's all stand up and let's march around the room and sing this song. It wasn't that dead, but anyway, he felt like we needed to be uplifted. So anyway, I say that not to just do something outward, but we have to help. Bring life into the situation. Give Christ to one another. Sing a song that'll uplift everybody. Don't call a song that'll just... I don't know. You know what I mean. Anyway, just pray for the meetings. Bring life into the meetings. Make them so enjoyable, so homey, where they really feel like they've been what? Reclining with Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all say that. Reclining. Together with Jesus. Okay, once the freshman is brought into our living room, most of the work is already done. Stepping stone. Altogether, E. We also need to be connected to the homes of the new ones. The best way to care for the new believers is to set up home meetings where they... See, that's like Zacchaeus. That's what the Lord did. I'm going to your house. Home meeting time. Okay, altogether focus. Best way to help new students into the church life is to coordinate with these, bringing the students into the saints' homes, visiting the new students in their home. Okay, let's all say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah for the homes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.